I wrote two, count them two, sermons, and they both were terrible. So I kind of said, okay, let me talk about something that just kind of the Spirit is leading me to. First of all, in the Matthew passage, we're chastised about making a big deal of our prayers and praying in public. And Matthew isn't talking about never praying in public, because certainly when we worship together, we pray in public. When we go out into the world and invite people to church or acts of kindness to people who we don't know, sometimes we give a dollar to the guy on the street. I always look at his shoes. Or her shoes. But the point is that Matthew isn't telling us to never pray in public. What Matthew is doing here is admonishing the holy Pharisees and Sadducees who are running around praying like they were all that and a bag of chips, and, you know, they just wanted to think everybody to think they were particularly cool. But what Matthew is saying is that prayer and time with God is about relationship. If you just go out and say, oh, praise God, you know, there's no relationship. When you get down to it and you're in your prayer closet or wherever it is that you pray, it's just you and God. And I find that to be so powerful and so inviting. So Lent is a time where we give something up. We can do it individually or as a group. One of the most popular things, of course, is chocolate. It's just the way it is. But one of the things that we are called to do during Lent is to fast. And fasting and giving things up are sometimes difficult to do. It's one thing to give up chocolate, but it's another thing to give up chocolate and then do something with that desire for chocolate, something different, something for God. And I don't know what it would be, because each one of us in relationship with God has to figure that out. My grandfather, and this is a really bad example, but it was good for him. My grandfather would give up whiskey for Lent. And this is small, but every time when he normally had his evening drink, he would put the cost of the drink into a jar. And then at Easter, he would offer that. That's just a small thing. He could have done a lot more, but that's what he did, and I won't judge him, although I already did. Anyway, let's just say he could have afforded to do a little bit more. But that's okay. His heart was in the right place. So Brother Curtis says about fasting, fasting is a way of fastening on to what is important. The first love, that ultimate desire, our beginning and our end to know God and love God and serve God. Fasting in some form during Lent may open a space within us to receive what Jesus called the food that will last forever. And it gives you a freedom, the freedom and focus to share that food, literally and symbolically, with a world that is starving for what Jesus promised. What does it mean to give something up for Lent? There's all kinds of different choices, and I'm just going to throw out some interesting things that are not chocolate or coffee, but are something to consider. Here's one. What about fasting from worry? What would it mean to give up worry, to give it up to God, and find peace in knowing that He will take care of it? Anxiety. Would we be more reliant on God if we thought we could give that up and have God take it from us? 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Defeat. have to be confident that God protects us and loves us, and that those who undermine God's will be put to shame. This is one of mine that I need to work on, is anger. Romans 10:11 says, "Remember that we are forgiven and must then forgive. Live kindness." One of the things that we do when we hold in anger is we are barred or completely incapable, it seems, of forgiving. We don't forgive for the person that hurt us. We forgive for ourselves. We hold in that whatever somebody did to us, and we let it take over who we are and what we're doing. And that person could care less. That person is long gone, forgotten what he or she did to you. And yet here we are, holding on to it. I'm so angry. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make honestly with your own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is useful for building up as there is need, so your words may give grace to those who hear." There's a lot of hopelessness going around right now. We have to be reliant on God's faithfulness and know that God is taking care of things. This is His creation. We don't have to do everything. We do have to do things to be gentle and kind and caring of the creation. But it's not our job to fix it all. That's God's job. We cannot possibly globally fix all the wrongs in the world or all the things that we don't agree with, some of which may be okay. But it's important to rely on God's faithfulness and to trust that God is doing what God does. Isaiah 40:31, this is one of my favorite passages. "But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Christ has forgiven you. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's quite a promise. I'll do a couple more. Discontent. Concern for others, gratefulness for what we have, and not desiring everything that we want. "Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have." And that's from Philippians. Selfishness. Can we give up selfishness? Find ways to love one another, to love the unloved, to be the face of Christ in those in need, to give to those in need. 1 John says, "How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help?" This is high on my list: impatience. "In all things, put love first, that love will lead to trust, and patience will come as we learn to wait on the Lord, knowing that God loves us without conditions. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth." 1 Corinthians 13. So as we listen to Matthew tonight, I invite you to think about your relationship with God. What is your relationship with God in the sense of knowing who God is and knowing how to go to God one-on-one, just you and God? and know in that relationship and know in that time with God that you are heard, you are cared about, you are healed, and you are loved. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Hebrews 13:16. Amen.